and he was really good. I like watching sleight of hand magic, you know, where people trick you into thinking that something has happened, you know. I like watching the shows with the sleight of hand. And this magician had a parrot. And they had been together forever, and he was just getting downright tired of the parrot always telling on him. The parrot was a tattletale. You know, he would make the cards vanish, and the parrot would go, ah, tuck your sleep. And he'd be like, oh, stupid bird. And then he'd make the girl vanish, and he'd be like, ah, fake ball in the cabinet. Or he would make the girl over here, and she'd appear over here, and he'd be like, ah, the twins, one in each end. And they're on the cruise ship, and they're doing this, they were getting ready to do this magic show, and the magician just decided, you know what, I have just about enough of that dumb parrot. And the parrot's like, ah, you ready to go? And he pulls out his sidearm, and he shoots the bird. But instead of the bird, he hits a propane tank that was behind the bird. It blows the boat to smithereens, blows this cruise ship right out of the water, and the magician and the bird are floating along on a piece of driftwood, just like Jack and the girl, you know, and the Titanic. You know, they're just floating around along on this piece of driftwood, and the bird looks over at the magician and goes, ah, I give up. What'd you do with the boat?
I was making it up as I went. Oh, I like to laugh, and that's a fact. If you got your Bibles with you, we are starting a series today called Galatians the Series. I thought I'd try and come up with an original name. So we're going to start in the first chapter of Galatians, and we're just going to start a series on the book of Galatians. This is kind of neat because we're already working in Galatians on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we're exploring the fruit of the Spirit. If you see the board over here, the write-on, wipe-off board, the ladies encouraged me not to put it away. Let everyone see what we're doing on Wednesday night. I'm like, okay, that's a pretty good idea. I guess we'll leave it there. And that's right where it sits on Wednesday nights, because we kind of huddle together right there in the middle. And I could really use somebody to write for me on Wednesday night if you wanted to show up and be my writer. That'd be cool. But we're exploring the fruit of the Spirit right now on Wednesday nights. This past Wednesday night, we're in Galatians chapter 5, and we were talking about, if you're going to explore the fruit of the Spirit, let's explore why we were told about that. And what's the counter to the fruit of the Spirit? It's the fruit of the flesh. And so we were digging in Wednesday night, and we were hitting some of the aspects of the fruit of the flesh. And then we're getting ready to get into the counter aspects, which are the fruit of the Spirit. All right, if you found Galatians chapter 1, we're going to do a bit of reading today. I hope you can hang in there with me as we do a lot of reading of the Word in this study. I'm going to start chapter 1, verse 1, and I am going to read until I stop. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia, later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I presented them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles, and they were circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been doing all along. Father, as we dive into Galatians, an important word to us, the church, to remember, to keep the main thing, the main thing. Father, as we dig in, Father, we bless you this morning and we just ask that you open our hearts and minds, that you would give us the desire to stay on point, to stay with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is an apostle to the churches of Galatia. An apostle, quite simply, is a person that's in charge over other people, other pastors. It's a pastor over pastors. We have presbyters. In the Assemblies of God, we have presbyters that are overseers of us pastors of individual churches. Pastor Brian Wynn, he's the pastor of Elkhart Calvary Assembly of God. He is our area presbyter. He is, my pastor, if you will. He is the pastor of pastors. And then we have, over the whole state of Indiana, we have Pastor Don Gifford, who is their pastor and my pastor. They're like our apostles, okay? They're like our apostles. The apostles are the authority over the churches. This was Paul, and this was his title as apostle. He was the authority over the churches. This is why he writes so many letters to churches, by the way. Did you ever notice how many letters Paul wrote to different churches? A lot of them. Because he is the authority over those churches. He writes them to the pastors of those churches, like to Timothy and to Titus. Because he is the authority over those churches. Well, In the first five verses, Paul starts the letter with describing his, if you will, his authority, and exerting his authority that he had. In verses 1-5, it says, "Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." This wasn't a prayer, and I want you to understand that. Those first five verses were not a prayer, they were a proclamation. These first five verses were a proclamation to the people of Galatia, which he stamped with an amen, and that amen wasn't an ending to a prayer. That amen was, "So be it, that is the word as given to me, the Apostle Paul." That's what that amen was. That amen was that stamp on what he, how, of his opening of his letter, of where he was giving and exerting the authority by which he was called apostle. That would be the first five verses. And when he said that amen, that's the way it is. Now the Galatian believers had strayed from the teachings of the grace of Christ and had been practicing works and rituals as a way, as different ways of propitiation for our sins. And this was in addition to Christ. They were adding to. See, Christ was the propitiation for our sins. He took the place of. He was the payment for. And now they're going back to different payment for our sins. They're going back to, some of the Jewish leaders were afraid of, like, the Pharisees and those who were the really strong in the Judeo and the Judaism. Excuse me. They were really strong in Judaism, and they were kind of afraid of them. So they were going back, pulling out of Jesus is the only way to heaven, pulling away from his blood washes away all our sins, and going back to the rituals of even teaching that if you came to know Christ, you had to be circumcised. And you must eat the way that the Jews were eating. You must eat the foods that they were eating. Taking away all the freedoms that came with Jesus fulfilling the law. There was freedom that came with Jesus fulfilling that law. And in that process, they started to believe these false teachers that started to teach them that you must do these rituals and different things to be saved. And Paul got wind of it. And when you get wind of something that's being taught wrongly, and you are over those churches, it is your job. It is your duty. It was his duty as an apostle to confront them and come to them and say, hey, this new gospel that you're being taught, this new good news, is not good news at all. In fact, it's a pile of garbage. It's wrong. And that's where Paul was, where he was at. That's why this letter had to be written. That's why he had to confront the Galatian churches. Because, as churches like to do, they had a wave going on. It was attracting people. It was attracting people. But is it truly the church's job to be attractive to people? Is that what we're called to be? And that's what Paul was asking them as their apostle. That's what he was asking the Galatians is, were we called to be attractive to people? Were we called to tickle their fancy? I think not. They had strayed from these beliefs and had swayed to a different gospel, but it really wasn't good news. They were telling people, now that you've accepted Christ, you must be circumcised. Can you imagine? In verses 6 through 9, we read, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. If someone is teaching a gospel other than the gospel of Christ, let them be under God's curse. That is how important it is to keep the gospel of Christ. We hear it in politics. Fake news. We hear it a lot in politics today. How bad is the fake news that goes against the gospel of Christ? The teaching of we are saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
Nothing you can do other than that will get you into heaven.
Amen.
You are not saved free to go back to that which you have done. And that is a gospel that is being preached today. You know that? That is a gospel. A fake gospel. A false news. Fake news. You cannot be saved and be free to go back to the vomit that you came out of. That is not gospel. That is garbage. There is no ritual. There is nothing that you can do. There is no prayer, no rehearsed prayer. There is no wafer that you can eat. There is no grape juice that you can drink. There are no Hail Marys that you can do. I'm not trying to point one out or another. That was just a phrase that I'm using. None of that is gospel. The gospel is, I am saved by the blood of Jesus through my faith in Christ.
Amen.
He has washed away my sins, and I will live my life for him. And nothing that the enemy can throw at me can take that away.
Amen.
Nothing, not a thing, can separate me from the love of God that is in who?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus, my Lord. That is the truth. That is the gospel. The good news. The good news. Woohoo! The real good news and the only good news. that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and there is no other way.
Amen.
And you cannot and won't want to, if you have given your heart to Christ. I'm not saying you don't have the ability to. I'm saying that you can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot go back to the lifestyle of sin.
Amen.
If you gave your heart to Christ, you won't want to. But I'm here to tell you that you need to be awful careful, because if somebody has preached a lie into your ear, that it's okay to go back. Oh, I've heard it. I've used the phrase, and I use the phrase because it's true. God knows your heart. I understand that God knows your heart. But God also knows your heart when you falsely give your heart to Him, and you turn around and jump right back in the world of sin that you were living in before. God knows your heart. God knows if you truly gave your heart to Him. He knows it. So if you're jumping back into that world of sin, and then you say, oh, I'm only human, that is a load of malarkey. You are not only human. The moment that you receive Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you are not human. You are supernatural. You are born again of the Father in heaven, of the supernatural. You have left the natural. It is gone. You have left it aside. And that moment that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and truly receive that supernatural infilling of the Lord in your heart, because He moves right in and He kicks out the cooties and He comes in to stay. He comes in to live.
Yes.
Your desires change.
That's right.
Your desires change.
Do you see how exciting the real gospel is? Do you see the... I see nothing exciting about
ask Jesus into your heart and live like you want. There is nothing about that excites me, because I really feel that if that's how you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can accept Him and live like you want. I feel like you'd be looking over your shoulder all the time. I feel like you're going to have something to make it. Am I still going to make it? Am I still going to make it? Wouldn't you figure that would be your lifestyle? Oh, I gave my heart to Christ so that I can live forever. But doesn't the Bible say something about not being able to serve two masters?
Right.
You'll love one and hate the other?
Right.
Serve one and not the other? This is where we need to be. We need to, the true gospel of Jesus Christ will envelop your heart. He will grab a hold of you so that you want to sing on your birthday, that you want to sing on your rebirth day. That's amazing stuff. The true gospel of Christ, when you dip your toe back into the world and you stick your toe back into sin, do you know what He does? Here's what He does to me. You're mine. You don't belong there. Come on. Come back out. Come out from among them, Paul. Come out from among them. You don't belong there. You're different. Come out from among them and be ye different. We are a peculiar people. The moment you have given your heart to Christ, you become peculiar, like me. Everybody asks why I'm so different, because I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 4 years old. I grew up different. I can't help it. He made me different. He made me different. That's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is fun. The gospel of Jesus Christ is bubbly. The gospel of Jesus Christ is life. Eternal life. That's the gospel of Christ. And when Paul sees that the people of Galatia were setting that aside for rituals and traditions, he said, we can't have this. Wake up. People, wake up. You're being fed poison. And it'll kill you. You're being fed poison. Whew, I lost my place.
In verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? I wouldn't be a servant of Christ if I tried to please people. That's what Paul is saying. Am I now trying to please people? Or am I trying to please God? I love you all, but I could care less if I please them. I have this thing. I understand it to be a fault. I know it. I care what people think. I care what people think about me. I've been reprimanded by my own board. I pointed to her mom. I'm not saying she's the one that reprimanded, though she might have been. But I care what people think about me, and I was told by the board, and that they're not the only ones that ever told me this, Paul, not everyone's going to like you. But I want them to. But they're not going to. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive to the world. You need to be ready for that. If you are falling for a gospel of niceness, a gospel that seems really, really easy, now don't get this turned up wrong, but if you're falling for a gospel that leaves you where you were, you are falling for a gospel of falsehoods. The gospel of Jesus Christ will never leave you where you were. He will always advance you. He will always bring you forward. He will always lead you to heaven.
Amen.
And as you start to step out of life, and I'm here to say, you will. There'll be that time where you'll cross over into the dark blue carpet. You're supposed to be on the light blue carpet, but you cross the dark blue, and the Holy Spirit will bear on the whole. If you are living your life for Him, and you've given yourself over to Him, you will be ever aware of the tug.
That's right.
You might still cross over, but you'll be aware of that tug as He tries to tug you back. The life lived for Christ will be offensive to the flesh. And would you want it any other way? If your life lived for Christ is attractive to the flesh, you're doing something wrong. Straight up, I don't think I can say it any other way, even any more blunt. If your life lived, this life that you're trying to, the gospel, if this gospel that you're preaching, the gospel that you're teaching, is attractive to the flesh, you're doing something wrong. I'm not saying they won't be drawn in by the Holy Spirit, but there is a difference of being drawn by the Spirit and being attractive to the flesh. I have never seen anything of Christ that the flesh would say, oh, I like that. They are diametrically opposed. As we're studying on Wednesday night and we're in the fruit of the Spirit, every fruit of the flesh is diametrically opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're attractive to the flesh, you miss the mark. The rest of the chapter, of chapter 1, all the way through verse 10 of chapter 2, Paul is giving his credentials for bringing the case against the Galatians. If you were tracking with that, as you're reading that, Paul's giving his credentials of how he can go ahead and bring this case against them. And he's already even described some of the pillars of the church that he's already stood up to a bit. And as we'll get into next week, you'll see where he stands up against one of the mighty pillars of the church himself and says, Brother, you're wrong. It's an area that a lot of people like to skip over because it's a little uncomfortable when Peter himself has been reprimanded by Paul. It's like two pillars of the faith crashing into each other. But that's what we need to do. If you see a leader that is leading
that has strayed from the gospel, that has strayed from the truth, what are you to do other than to set them straight? We can't even allow it to go. They may not know they have strayed. That's how blinding the flesh can be. You know, Jesus wouldn't call it a wolf in sheep's clothing if it wasn't a bit blinding and easy to be strayed. But we need to confront and we need to direct when those either in authority or in submission have strayed. They need, it's done in love. They need to be directed back onto the path. The last thing we want to see is any of our brothers or sisters in the lake of fire because of wrong teachings. Isn't that scary? We have a responsibility to make sure that the gospel that we teach and the gospel that we're listening to is the true gospel of Christ. And that is the whole book of Galatians. I want to tell you, is about staying with the true gospel. Shows us how. Teaches us what to do. Teaches us how to recognize. Shows us aspects of the fruit of the flesh. Shows us aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Shows us the armor of God. It is just an amazing, great book. Every Christian should read God's Word. But you need to dig into Galatians. It is food for the Spirit. It really is good, good stuff in this book. And next week we will further dig into Galatians. I think it's going to be a great study, and I hope you will come join us. We're going to put a bookmark right here. Galatians 2:11 is where we might pick up next week. We're going to pick up in that area. And we'll continue on with the next part of the Galatians series. Stand with me if you will. An old song that my old pastor McGee used to say at the end of a study, he would say, God's Word is working mightily in me. His Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstance, or what I hear or see, God's Word is working mightily in me. Do you know that song? Will you sing it with me? God's Word is working mightily in me. His Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstance, or what I hear or see, God's Word is working mightily in me. Father, I lift you up this morning. You have been so good to us. It has been good to be in your presence. I love you so much. I praise your holy name. I pray that you would go with us as we go about our way. Keep us safe. I pray that you bring us back tonight as we dig back into the first chapter of Galatians. And just be with us as we go our way. Bring us back on Wednesday night, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.